And the eyes of them that see shall not be dim, and the ears of them that hear shall hearken. The heart also of the rash shall understand knowledge, and the tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. With God's word open, let's bow together in prayer. Our gracious Father, we praise Thee again this day for the sacrifice of our blessed Redeemer. We thank Thee that by His sacrifice He has secured for us the way into Thy presence. And we bless Thee today for this singular opportunity that is ours to meet together with redeemed souls in the house of God and to hear the message of the infallible Word of God. O Lord, we pray today that Thou wilt deal with us in grace and mercy. O Lord, we thank Thee we have not received what we have deserved at Thy hand. We thank Thee that even today we are able to be here in this place. And so, Lord, now we pray that Thou wilt use Thy Word as that sharp sword of which we read, and to divide with it even the thoughts and intents of every heart. And so to that end, we pray in Jesus' name that Thou wilt fill me with the power of Thy Spirit to the very uttermost, that Thou wilt grant me this day that gracious anointing that Thou hast promised for the proclamation of Thy Word and for the exaltation of Thy Son. Hear our cry, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. The words of Isaiah directed the attention of a disobedient people to the power of the coming Redeemer. The ministry of the evangelical prophet, as he is rightly called, was devoted to announcing the visitation of divine judgment on the sins of the people. In particular, it was a ministry that would emphasize the complete inability of the people to understand spiritual truth. It was the aspect of Isaiah's famous call that is so often neglected in sermons from chapter 6. If you look back at chapter 6 and verse 9, after Isaiah had surrendered himself to go for the Lord, we read the Lord's commission to him in verse 9, and he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed." The message of these verses was that the preaching of the gospel would not bring the people of Israel the benefit of the grace with which to believe the gospel. In fact, we are told there that the very preaching of the truth would serve to harden their hearts even more and to blind their eyes even more severely. Let us learn from that commission of Isaiah that there are times when the preaching of the Word becomes itself part of the judgment of God upon the people. That which is a token of divine mercy to those who believe becomes a millstone around the necks of the unbelieving and drives them on their way to final desolation. Such was definitely the case in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. He referred to this very commission of Isaiah as the explanation for his use of parables to speak to the people. You find that in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. Again, a part of Matthew's Gospel that is often ignored or twisted. But if you read in verse 10, after speaking a parable, we read that the disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" Now, that's a very simple question. They said to the Lord, "Why are you doing this?" So let's listen, because Jesus is going to tell them. He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." Notice verse 13. "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive." But notice verse 16. "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear." What is the attitude of people who are so hardened and blinded? I'll tell you what it is. They think they see. They are sure that they know what the truth is. And they are sure that they know what the difference is between good and evil. And yet we find in Isaiah's prophecy that it was precisely the lack of discernment in this area that marked the people as carnal and totally depraved. If you look back at Isaiah chapter 5, Isaiah chapter 5, a lengthy passage that begins in verse 11 that we're not going to take the time to read. But notice how it begins. "Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them, and the harp and the viol, the tabret and pipe and wine are in their feasts, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands." If we had the time, we'd read down all the way through. But notice in verse 23, one of the characteristics of this people, "which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel." Now, this whole passage would be worthy several sermons. But for our purposes today, it emphasizes, here is what people do who have not been born again. Here is what people do who have refused to submit to the plain commands of the Word of God. They pervert the whole basis, the whole structure of society. They are intoxicated with the wine of spiritual pride. They believe they know what is really best. They see nothing wrong with strong drink. They revel in the commission of sins, even of the most perverse and abominable sort. In fact, is that not the indictment at the end of Romans 1, knowing the judgment of God, that they who commit such things are worthy of death? They not only do the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. What does the Word of God say in Isaiah 5? They will be devoured as the fire devours the stubble. They would not receive the Word of the Lord, and the Lord would cast them off forever. But in the words of chapter 32, from which we have read today, the Spirit of God sets before us the answer to this hardness and blindness. It is, simply speaking, the new birth. Isaiah described the Lord Jesus Christ in this chapter as the King who would reign in righteousness. He would be as a hiding place from the divine wrath, from the storm of which we read in verse 2. The fire of the judgment of God would not affect the one who would take refuge in that covert from the tempest. Those who would take that protection would be transformed in their minds and their souls. That is, the darkness of their depravity would be dispelled. The hardness of their unbelief would be shattered. And in these verses, beginning at verse 3, we find the impact of the Spirit's miraculous work in a depraved heart. The change that we call the new birth, it is more than an intellectual change. It is a complete transformation of the spiritual faculty of a sinner. This is a change that is beyond the ability of any person to bring about. It lies solely in the prerogative of the Spirit of God. You do not have the ability to make yourself see. You certainly don't have the ability to make others see the truth. But what this passage of Scripture teaches us is how to recognize those in whom the new birth has truly occurred. And those in whom there is only a delusion. I am here to tell you again that the result of much of what passes for evangelism in our time has been the creation of a whole group of people who have made some kind of decision, but who don't have the first shred of spiritual discernment. This passage is a warning to all such. For here we find what I call the results of regeneration. The new birth. Do you know it is only when you begin to recognize this truth that the new birth is strictly the work of the Holy Spirit that you will realize how earnestly you must entreat the Lord for that work to take place in the souls of sinners. You've no doubt spoken to people about their souls. Sometimes you get the feeling you're talking to a wall. The reason is you are. No one is ever saved. No one is ever brought to see the truth, to understand what is being presented without the miracle of the new birth taking place in his soul. It is a miracle that manifests itself in a complete change of thinking. When people profess faith, but their thinking remains the same, it may well be an indication that the profession of faith is a mere sham. If we believe the Bible's teaching, we must believe that the new birth will produce the beginnings of new life in the soul. There may be physical habits hard to be broken, but the thinking of someone who has been born again will no longer seek cover for those habits. This passage is then a word of warning to every person. Is your thinking straight? Is your thinking the thinking of one who has been born again? Do you know the reality of which we read in 1 Corinthians 2? Paul's famous passage where he talks about the contrast between the natural man and the spiritual man? The story is told of a famous evangelist from the first half of the last century, and I do mean by that the 20th century, who was advised that one of his converts had been seen getting drunk in one of the local bars. And he replied, it must have been one of his converts, for it was not one of the Lord's converts. In all that this passage teaches us, there is no excuse for pride. There is no excuse for condescension. If you see the truth today, if you understand the truth, it is solely because of the Spirit's work in your heart. So today I want us to look at four of the results of regeneration as we find them in these two verses in Isaiah 32. Let us look first of all at true perception. We read in verse 3, "The eyes of them that see shall not be dim, that those who have trusted in Jesus Christ will see clearly." The Lord Jesus in His ministry testified that He came to open the eyes of the blind. I tell you, there's nothing like talking to an individual whose eyes are suddenly opened. There is a clearness. There is a readiness to perceive the truth that was not there before. In our Lord's ministry, He gave physical sight to many who needed it. And one of those acts is much to the point in illustrating our text. Let us turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, and verse 22. "And He cometh to Bethsaida, and they bring a blind man unto Him, and besought Him to touch him. And He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when He had spit on his eyes and put His hands upon him, He asked him if he saw aught. And he looked up and said, I see men as trees walking. After that He put His hands again upon his eyes and made him look up. And he was restored," and notice this, "and saw every man clearly." There's the fullness of the work of Christ, to bring a man to see clearly. What was it when Paul was before Agrippa that he asserted was the mission he had been given by the Lord? It was to take men out of darkness and put them into the light, to open their eyes. What is meant now by this true perception? That those who have been born again shall see clearly. Well, it means they receive the truth of God as the truth of God. That is, when they hear a word from Scripture, they're not going to be casting about for some reason not to receive it, not to believe it, not to be governed by it. Those who have been born again are ready for the Word of God. And though the Word of God may rebuke them, though the Word of God may trouble them, they do not turn away from it and cast it off from them. Now they may need instruction in certain practical matters concerning a Christian's conduct in the world, but they will not be blind to the need for a Christian to maintain his position or her position of being separated from the world. The problem with some professing Christians, the reason they act as they do, is that they've not been regenerated. They've not been born again. They've made one decision after another until the end of the day. They've sought to follow certain ethical principles, but listen, Christianity is not an ethical system. Christianity is belief in Jesus Christ and being governed by Jesus Christ. To be born again is to perceive. It is to see clearly. I often say to the people in our congregation in Phoenix, it's a wonderful thing when you come to know the truth. When you have the truth and you know you have the truth, it's a wonderful thing because you can listen to other people and they speak very authoritatively. But you know that what they're saying doesn't match up to the truth. This morning in the Bible class, Dr. Dodson referred to that famous text in Isaiah 8. We'll have occasion to refer to it again this evening. One of my favorite verses, to the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no truth in them. When you know the truth, then you're not going to be troubled and made anxious. Well, these people are saying this, these people are saying that. So what? If you know the truth, if you've been brought to see the truth, then it doesn't matter if everybody is saying something else. You know what the truth is. Wasn't it this lack of perception that was the problem with Nicodemus? Turn to the Gospel of John chapter 3. The chapter that deals with the new birth. John chapter 3. We read in verse 9, Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel? And knowest not these things? What was the message here? This is elementary. This is fundamental. You are a rabbi. You are a master in Israel. You are a member of the Sanhedrin. And you don't know what I'm talking about? The Lord said, you have to be born again. Nicodemus said, how can you do that? He didn't have a clue about the truth. He was religious. He had risen to a great station in Judaism, but he wasn't born again. He knew, had a lot of information, but he did not have the truth. He needed to see. So the first result of regeneration we find here is true perception. Do you see today? Do you see? Or in your mind, you cast about for some reason not to receive the truth. Remember what Isaiah's commission was? Go and speak to this people. And what was he told in advance? Isaiah, when you speak to them, they're only going to get more defiant against what you have to say. I fear that there are people who sit under the gospel every week. And that is their lot. They become more and more defiant. If that's your case today, you need to see. You need to wake up. But let's come to the second result. True reception. We read again in verse 3 that the ears of them that hear shall hearken. Those who are born again will not only go through the physical act of hearing the Word of God. Everybody here today, though you may be in various states of alertness, everybody here today is hearing the Word of God. But I feel confident in saying not everybody is hearkening unto it. We read here that the mark of regeneration is that people not only hear the word, but they hearken to it. That is, they will heed it and they will obey it. What was it said of Lydia in Philippi in that memorable passage in Acts 16? When they went out to preach. And what do we read about Lydia? Not the man that they were looking for. We don't know if they ever did encounter him. But for Lydia, it was said of her, whose heart the Lord opened that sovereign work of God to regenerate her soul. That's what happened there. And what was the result of it? She attended to that which Paul and Silas and the others were saying. This hearkening is the result of the work of the Spirit. We're talking in Isaiah about people who were in deep bondage. They were people who had the opportunity to hear the Word of God, but they did not profit by their opportunities. There are people all about us who have opportunities to hear the Word of God. They don't profit by them. It is as though the Word goes in one ear and not stopping at all, straight out the other. We read here, they heard, but they did not hearken. So that if you speak to someone and you feel like there's no real communication going on, that's the reason. It's little wonder they don't hearken to the Word of God. They do not have the work of the Spirit of God in their hearts. But when a person is born again, here's what I say is the mark of regeneration, the result of regeneration. When a person is born again, that person has a hunger for the Word. That person hearkens to the Word. Considering the Word carefully, not casually, flippantly. He ponders the Word, seeks the application of the truth of the Word to his own life. How is my life to be governed by the Word? This last week in North Carolina, the times of prayer were very searching times for the Lord's servants. The Word that God appointed to be preached was a very searching Word. The mark of those who've been regenerated is that they look on that Word and take it and say, how is my life to be affected, to be governed by this Word? This hearkening, this reception, means that the one who has been born again identifies the Word as coming from God. This is not man's Word. This book that we have opened before us is not like all the other books ever produced in the world. It is unique. It has the breath of God upon it. It is authoritative. We identify the source of the Word. There ought to be, when God's Word is opened, wherever it is opened, but especially in this context, in the house of God on the Lord's Day, there ought to be that sense that comes into your soul, I'm about to hear from heaven. I'm about to hear God's voice. You identify the source of the Word and submit yourself to the authority of the Word. Whatever that Word says, that is so for me. We like to make it general. Oh yeah, that applies to us all. We always like to hide behind that. That applies to us all. And then we sort of just shift it off onto people that we think need it more than we do. Well, the preacher gave him a going over today. That's the attitude. We ought to adopt the attitude, if I am the only person there, that is a word from God to my own heart. There is a rejection then of challenges to the Word. When you've been born again, you're not going to listen to anybody suggest the Bible is not true. But let me hasten on to deal with the third result, true attention. In verse 4, we find this striking expression, the heart of the rash shall understand knowledge. What's true about unregenerate people? Generally, they're quick to speak. Generally, they're quick to say the first thing that pops into the mind. But the person who has been born again is marked by deliberateness. The New Testament describes such a person as being slow to speak. I'm thinking of a professor I had in college years ago, and one of the things that always struck me was when he was asked a question, he didn't just start talking right away. He stopped for a moment and considered the question, trying to analyze, no doubt, what was behind the question. He was slow to speak, but when he spoke, his words were worth listening to. There are many problems among the people of God that would be resolved if they would follow that admonition. Be slow to speak. And what makes a person slow to speak? It's not just a discipline where you say, okay, I'm going to check myself. What makes a person slow to speak is a true understanding, a true attention to the Word of God. When you pay attention to what God's Word has to say, then your opinions don't carry so much weight as you thought they did. This understanding is the ability to identify good and evil properly. Isaiah is the prophet who tells us about those who call evil good and good evil. The context here in Isaiah 32 says that past designations are going to be abandoned. We read in verse 5 of the vile person. That's a person who's not born again. But that person shall no more be called liberal. That is, the world takes a vile person and says, this person is the one who understands true freedom. And if you think of our own society, here is the transformation of the whole concept of liberty and freedom in our own society. Now those who are vile, they say that our freedom is the freedom to do whatever we want. You can't say anything about it. And if you do, you're guilty of preaching hate. Well, the result of regeneration is that those designations are no longer maintained. What is the answer to twisted thinking then? Well, it's the new birth. It's the power of the Spirit of God. And that new birth also, lastly, produces a dramatic effect on the tongue. True proclamation. The tongue of the stammerers shall be ready to speak plainly. Here's the answer, is it not? Here's the result of regeneration. Those who have spoken spiritually in stammering tones will be ready to speak plainly. What does that mean? Does it mean that everybody will be eloquent? No, it doesn't mean that. Does it mean that everybody will be glib and have the ability just to talk freely and easily? No, it doesn't mean that. It means they're going to stand with God. And they're going to stand against evil. Those are the true liberals. The people who are standing with God. They are the people who are truly affected by the truth. They will have the needs of sinners before them. They will be seeking to convey to them the word of the gospel. The tongue of the stammerer shall be ready to speak plainly. Here are the results of regeneration. There are many others that we could note. But you know, God's Word comes to us and does not leave us as we came. We have heard God's Word. Now the question is, do you see these results in your own soul? Do you profess to be born again? Well then, what is your attitude toward God's Word? Do you stand ready to receive God's Word and to say, what the preacher is saying is for me? This is God's Word to me. If you've been born again, that will be your attitude. What is your attitude toward those who are without? Are you ready to speak as God gives you opportunity? You may not be able to speak in an eloquent fashion, but at least you can tell people what God has done for you and encourage them to pursue the Word of God. Perhaps you believe that you are born again, but your thinking is still twisted. Then today, you need to come to Christ. You need to come to Him in faith and confess that your own opinions don't matter. What matters is what God has said to you. And if that happens today, God will have met with us, as we are sure He has. Let us bow together in prayer. Just before we pray, with every head bowed in prayer, I trust that today God's voice comes to your soul. If you're not saved, you need to be saved. You must be born again. That was the word Jesus gave to Nicodemus. If you've not been saved, you need to come to the Lord today before you leave this place. I'll be at the door as folks are going out. The ministers and elders of this congregation are here, many believers here, ready to speak to you. We'd be glad to open God's Word with you. We're praying that God will do His work in your heart. But the call of the gospel is out there for you today. Come to Christ. Trust in Him. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. May God give you the grace to do it. Father in heaven, we rejoice today in Thy goodness to us. We thank Thee for giving us Thy Word. We are mindful that this is another token of Thy mercy, that Thou hast not left us without Thy Word. And, O Lord, we pray that today Thy Word would indeed conform our thinking unto Thyself. Deliver us from the thinking of the world, or even the thinking of our own foolish souls. Help us, Lord, to be governed by the truth that comes from heaven. Remember those who are lost. Oh, how we pray for them. They're blind. Oh, Lord, they're spiritually deaf. Their hearts are hard. Oh, God, have mercy upon them. Before they come to desolation. Speak to them this day, we pray. Do that work of Thy power in their hearts that will open their hearts and enable them to attend unto the gospel. O Lord, bless Thy people who have gathered here today. We thank Thee for Thy work and witness in this place. We thank Thee for Dr. Allison and Dr. Dobson. For the elders and deacons, all the members of the congregation and all the regular attenders, O Lord, we pray that today Thy blessing will be upon them all. As we go from this place, may we go in the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. We pray that we may be sent on our way with the blessing of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, resting upon each one of Thy blood-bought people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.